Near his hand, on the floor, was the crowbar he had used in the fight with the dwarf. He grabbed it, slammed it into the woman's face, or would have, had she not ducked out of the way. She clapped her open hands onto his ears, very fast. The crowbar went flying across the room. Still reeling from the pain in his ears, Varney pulled a knife from his boot. He was not entirely sure what happened after that, only that the world swung out from under him, and then he was lying face down on the ground with blood coming from his ears and his own knife at his throat, while the Marquis de Carabas was saying, "Enough!" The woman looked up, still holding Varney's knife to his throat. "Well?" she said. "Very impressive," said the Marquis. Dore nodded. Richard was thunderstruck. It had been like watching Emma Peel, Bruce Lee, and a particularly vicious tornado, all rolled into one and sprinkled with a generous helping of footage he had once seen on a wildlife program of a mongoose killing a king cobra. That was how she had moved. That was how she had fought. Richard normally found displays of real violence unnerving, but he found watching this woman in action exhilarating, as if she were finding a part of him he had not known existed. It seemed utterly right, in this unreal mirror of the London he had known, that she should be here, and that she should be fighting so dangerously and so well. She was part of London below. He understood that now. And as he thought that, he thought about London above, and a world in which no one fought like this, no one needed to fight like this. A world of safety and sanity, and for a moment the homesickness engulfed him like a fever. The woman looked down at Varney. "Thank you, Mr. Varney," she said politely. "I'm afraid we won't be needing your services after all." She got off him and put his knife away in her belt. "And you are called?" asked the Marquis. "I'm called Hunter," she said. Nobody said anything. Then Dore said hesitantly, "The Hunter?" "That's right," said Hunter, and she brushed the dust of the floor from her leather leggings. "I'm back." From somewhere a bell sounded. Twice, a deep bonging noise that made Richard's teeth vibrate. 5 minutes, muttered the Marquis. Then he said to the remains of the crowd, "I think we found our bodyguard. Thank you all very much. Nothing more to see." Hunter walked over to Dore and looked her up and down. "Can you stop people killing me?" asked Dore. Hunter inclined her head toward Richard. "I saved his life 3 times today, crossing the bridge, coming to the market." Varney, who had stumbled to his feet, picked up the crowbar with his mind. The Marquis watched him do it, and he said nothing. The ghost of a smile hovered about Dore's lips. "That's funny," she said. "Richard thought you were a..." Hunter never found out what Richard thought she was. The bar came hurtling toward her head. She simply reached out a hand and caught it. It thwapped, satisfyingly, into the palm of her hand. She walked over to Varney. "Is this yours?" she asked. He bared his teeth at her, yellow and black and brown. "Right now," said Hunter, "we're under market truce. But if you try something like that again, I'll waive the truce, and I'll break off both your arms and make you carry them home in your teeth." "Now," she continued, bending his wrist behind his back, "say sorry, nicely."
"Ow,"
said Varney. "Yes," she said, encouragingly. He spat it out as if it were choking him.
"I'm sorry."
She let him go. Varney backed away to a safe distance, plainly scared and furious, his face toward Hunter. and when he reached the door to the food halls, he hesitated and shouted, "You're dead! You're fucking dead, you are!" in a voice that hovered on the edge of tears. And then he turned and he ran from the room. "Amateurs," sighed Hunter.